This is Grace Covey, and I'm interviewing Sarah Maurer for the American Heritage Education Commission at Morehead State University. And we're going to talk about the Presbyterian Church this morning. Sarah and I are both members of the church, but she's been a member since when, Sarah?
1925.
And I understand the Presbyterian Church was organized in 1871 and into your building in 1872.
That's right.
Did you come here as a young person, Sarah?
I came when I was 16.
For what purpose?
To go to MS. It was Morehead State College at that time, and I took a two-year course in education.
And the camp was a little different than it
is now.
Oh,
yes. Main building burned, and we had two dormitories for girls. The boys slept in homes or different places all mm-hmm. over the place.
Were you a Presbyterian before you came to?
I was born a Presbyterian.
You were.
So I was always Presbyterian, yes.
I always say that I wasn't born a Presbyterian, but I chose it, so I don't know if that makes me any different.
Well, I imagine when I came here I chose it, because the people I lived with belonged to the Episcopal Church. And I started going with them until one day a man at the bank said, I'm going to send somebody over that's Presbyterian and we're going to take her. So that's what happened.
Do you remember who that person was?
Oh, yes, I surely do. Mrs. Ellie Prindle.
Oh.
They were Presbyterians. Mm-hmm.
George was a mailman.
No, George was a mailman, but Ellie, he worked in the Fairmont Creamery.
Oh, was he George's father?
No, brother.
Brother, uh-huh. I remember George and Marie. They were very faithful members of the Presbyterian Church.
Yes, they were.
Church.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Prindle were, too. And then, uh-huh. of course, Catherine was Howard Anderson. Mrs. Howard Anderson was their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed in our church.
Right.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. I understand you're Scottish.
That's right.
A lot of Scottish people are Presbyterians, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They came and they settled along the Red River, came in through Winnipeg and settled along the Red River. So most of the towns along the Red River had Presbyterian churches in them. And it was Methodists and the Episcopalians too, but they were the main churches.
I think the names of some of the towns reflect the Presbyterian and Scottish influence. There's Argyll and Angus.
And yes, they were all.
They're all, and there's strong Presbyterian churches there. What size was the church when you started going to it?
Well, we had possibly 100 families, and we had a service in the morning and a service in the evening. And on Wednesday night, we had a service.
Was the Wednesday night a prayer service?
Pretty much prayer service mm-hmm. and singing. But it was well attended always.
And then there was a choir then?
The choir was a real small choir, possibly four. Do you remember Lou Wagner? I don't think you did.
I remember the name.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, she had the choir, and my father-in-law sang in the choir. And there was two more. And Mrs. McDonald was the organist when I first came to the church.
Jean's mother. Dustwood's mother.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. When you first started going to the church, was it downtown then?
Oh, yes. At that time, all the churches were on 2nd Avenue, and they used to call mm-hmm. that the Church Avenue.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the corner of?
On the corner of 5th and
5th and 2nd.
2nd, yes.
And was it the huge church that we saw
it was
torn
the
down?
That you saw torn down,
mm-hmm.
yes. It was just about like when it was torn down, it was about the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We enclosed the steps, and that's about the only thing, and then put on the addition of the education building. But the main
which
part
is
of the
still
church
standing.
That's right,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Yes. So if you belonged in 1924, or you started going to church in 1924, when did you join the Presbyterian
in
Church? In 25.
Yes.
So you've been a member
for
51 years.
61 years.
61 years.
That's right.
So you've seen a lot of changes
there.
Oh,
Sarah. Yes. Uh-huh. I surely have.
Who was the pastor when you came?
Dr. Hall.
Hall?
Dr.
H-A-L-L?
Yes. That's right. Yes. And the manse was next door to the church.
Mm-hmm. We sort of dealt with the ethnic part, that Presbyterians, but there was also a strong Dutch influence, wasn't there? A Dutch Reform
Oh,
people
yes,
that
yes.
came?
Several of them were, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Hopin, I think, was Dutch, and then early in the time the Lederbors came, and they were Dutch descent. Of course, the Van Embusses, they were Dutch. Mm-hmm. So there was quite a predominance of Dutch in our church.
I'm from Dutch descent, and I know they can be pretty stubborn. were there many conflicts between the...
Not just among the members, there really wasn't, no. Mm-hmm. They were got along well together.
Mm-hmm. When did you meet your husband then?
The first Sunday I went to that church.
Is that right? He was a Presbyterian.
He was a Presbyterian, uh-huh. Yes.
And did you finish your 2 years?
Yes, I did. And I taught a year after that.
Where did you teach, Sarah?
At Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
Oh, uh-huh. In the northern part.
That's right.
And there must have been a strong reason to come back to Moorhead.
Oh, yes, I knew I was coming back to Moorhead.
Now, your husband's name was?
George Davenport.
George Davenport. And in 1925 and 26, how was the economic situation then?
It wasn't very good. It was hard job to keep the expenses paid in the church. And it was very common for the minister to say, well, I'll do without my salary now, try and pay the other bills. And that happened quite often.
With 100 families, I imagine that, you know, not all of them were able to...
Well, they weren't... mostly were farmers. Mm-hmm. There was no... I think Mr. Hopin was about the only one that had a business of his own. And he had a coal business. And so he was about the only businessman that we had in the church.
I was talking to Beth Dill, President Dill's wife.
Yes.
And she was a Hopeman. And I told her that somebody in our church, the Van Embuss, Jack and Dorothy, had been married 50 years. And she said, oh, I was at that wedding, she said. And she said, you know, children and everybody went to the weddings then.
Yes.
And was the church sort of the center of community life for everyone?
Oh, yes. The first Sunday I was in church, Beth was baptized.
Beth Dill was?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I know how old she
is. Well, she told me too, so.
Yes, no, that was one of the first recollections I have of going to church.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Then, right after that, there was the 29-30s depression, so I imagine it didn't get any better, did it?
Oh, no. No, it was pretty bad. Our Reverend Crotch, when he was there, he had the Red Cross trying to gather money to keep the people going, and it was really bad.
The church here a mission church? Did you get help from the
at
national?
First, yes. You know, it's not just a few years ago that they finally paid off that loan. Isn't that right?
It isn't paid off yet.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, there's still under $1,000 mortgage, and we were advised by the national to keep that because it would always remain a Presbyterian church.
Sure. I know there's that property that you have to think about when any
right.
time.
Was there a women's organization in the church at that
yes,
time?
Oh, yes, we had two. We had the Ladies Aid, and then we had a missionary society. And that was very strong. One met 1 week and the other the next, so we had two meetings every month that kept the women together. And they were always in the afternoon.
Did you bring your children you came?
For years, I was president of the Ladies Aid, and Mrs. Crouch used to hold one youngster, and Grandma Davenport held the other one, Jim and Sarah, because they were real tiny. So everybody brought their children when we had anything going on.
I can remember going to Mother's Ladies' Aid meeting and being quiet for while the ladies, but
sure,
they
yes.
always had good lunch.
Sure, oh yes.
Did the men have an organization? Do you
yes,
remember
they did.
That?
Yeah, they had a men's club. That met for many years.
Mm-hmm. I read some old minutes of the, was it called United Presbyterian Women then?
No.
Ladies' Aid.
Ladies' Aid, yes.
I read some old minutes, and many times the women were called upon to sort of bail out the church.
Oh, we did that regularly. Mm-hmm. And there was no janitor at that time, paid janitor for a long time, and we did the cleaning. If there was repairs to be done, why the men got together and repaired them. I remember them up on the roof, patching shingles.
Church was more a one big family than I would imagine.
I think everybody felt it was their responsibility to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Did you have fundraisers, Sarah?
Well, we had cherry pie suppers in those days. Long
just,
before.
Just as we do now, huh?
Just
as
we do now, yes.
I should explain that cherry pie suppers are not just cherry pie. They, did they serve ham and potatoes?
We served ham and potatoes, yes.
And salad and vegetable.
Yes.
And then the dessert is the cherry pies.
Oh, the cherry pie,
and it's
yes.
always around George Washington's birthday.
That's right. And we never had it in Lent. They were always careful to schedule any other events even before Lent or after Lent. That was.
Now that doesn't seem to
doesn't
enter
seem to make
in.
Any difference,
no.
Though.
You kind of go with the times, I suppose.
Date that you can get it in when it is
right,
in conflict. We had bazaars also.
You had bazaars?
Yes.
What were some, do you remember any of the items that you?
Oh yes, one lady used to go and buy stamped goods because that was very big in those days, you know, stamped pillowcases, stamped dresser scarves. And she'd go and buy them and the women would take them home and work them.
Embroidery them?
Embroidery, yes.
And crochet around the edges?
Oh yes, there wasn't crafts like there is nowadays.
No.
It was all things that you could put to use without hanging them on your wall. It was, they were practical things that we used.
Linens and?
Linens, yes, most.
And towels.
And towels and quilts and things.
Decorated
like
things.
Yes, right.
Then you were married in what year, Sarah?
27.
1927.
That's right,
were
yes.
you married in the Presbyterian Church?
In the Presbyterian Church, yes.
I shouldn't even ask, should I?
No.
Who was the minister then?
Reverend Crouch.
Crouch?
That's right.
How long was he here?
He came in 27. And he must have left in about 38.
He was here quite a while then. I was at a presbyterial meeting, or a presbytery meeting not long ago, and they said that the best time for a minister to leave was after 7 years, that they had accomplished what they could. And I was sitting behind the minister from West Fargo, and he's been here 14 years. I poked him. I said, you're on your second 7 years. But was it about 10 years usually for ministers to stay in a church then?
Well, not always. It seemed like that if some of the church wanted them and they received a call, then that was when they would leave. But otherwise, why, they usually stayed.
If they could better themselves to a larger church? Or
that's right. Like
better.
When Dr. Hall left, he retired. So mm-hmm. that was when he left. And it was he left a very warm spot in everybody's hearts
mm-hmm.
when he left.
So then your husband was killed in an industrial accident?
That's right, yes.
What was that, Sarah? Can you talk about
yes.
it, or
oh,
does
yes.
it bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me, no. He was working at Armory Company, and they were doing some welding, and he was holding the air hose for the man that was welding, and there wasn't enough circulation to keep the fume from him, and he was standing up so that where he was standing, he got the fumes, and it was winter time, and he'd go out and breathe, you know, to get some air into his lungs, and the doctor said he just drove all those fumes farther in every time he breathed. And that happened on this Friday, and he died a week afterwards.
It was sort of like smoke inhalation, and his lungs were
well,
ruined?
Well, it
poisoned him,
it
or?
It became pneumonia
uh-huh.
and affected the kidneys.
What year was that, Sarah?
That was in 36.
36.
That's right.
And you had three children?
Three small children, yes.
Did the church, was it supportive at that time for you then?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, surely.
It was
it was.
Very rugged time. I think the church is supportive.
I've never felt that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt home and then church. That was,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it was maybe church and then home, but they were very close to us always.
Someone asked me, you know, we've lived here 20 years now, and someone said, well, I suppose that most of your friends are in the medical community, and I said, no, I think most of our friends are church friends.
Sure.
They just seems like they're closer to us as a family than the medical people.
George was made an elder in 1930, and he took the place of Judge Sharp, and Judge Sharp was the first elder in the church, and he was a brother-in-law to Reverend Elmer, our first minister.
The fellow who started the Presbyterian
yes,
church
that's right,
here.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. I know there's a stained window with his name on it that I've seen.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then an elder was elected, and they didn't rotate them every 3 years. If you were an elder, that was you were an elder as long as you were able to serve.
I know Ken's uncle was in Red Lake Falls, and they had a very strong Presbyterian church there. And when Ken was elected an elder in Crookston, why, Uncle Earl said, well, now, once an elder, always an elder, and you're there for life, Ken.
Well, yes. So, well, I think you are because you may not be active, but you're an elder. After you've been ordained, why, you're an elder. That was the feeling, that was always the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they served their life tenure in the earlier church.
They served the whole...
As long as they were living and able to mm-hmm. to
that, work. That was really a big job taking it on then.
Oh, yes.
You were struggling and...
That's right, it is.
How did you go about getting new members?
Pretty much just children grew up and married. I think that was mostly because there wasn't any sales force that came around like they do now. It wasn't the congregation didn't rotate as rapidly as it does today.
It wasn't the movement of people as
not
it is
all,
now.
No.
We're much more a mobile society.
That's right.
Society.
We have families in the church that have stayed all the years that I've been in the church. And Lila McCann, she was in the church when I first came in.
Oh, was she?
That's right, yes. Well, of course, she was gone for a while, but she and her brother Charlie are really the oldest members in our church as far as membership. George Brindland.
Charlie
Paik.
Paik, oh, yeah. Sure. He comes back every summer
every
and
summer,
visits
yes.
us. How about the McCanns? Were they early members?
They were
members?
Here when I came, yes, they were members when I came. John and Maybelle and James, they were children growing up. And of course, the Vannevars were here mm-hmm. when I came. They had just come from Holland just not too many years before that.
I always sort of appreciated Grandma Vannevar's accent because it sounded so much like my mother's.
Oh, yes.
And one time when my mother was visiting, I got her to visit with Mrs. Vannevar. And oh my goodness, I couldn't get those two separated. They were just speaking so of the Netherlands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was still her home, and she was very loyal to anything that was Dutch. I remember that.
Yeah, I think so.
You say the children would marry and live in town, and then that would increase the membership at church, did you have people moving into the community at all, ever?
Not too much.
Not too much.
They were pretty much established from when they had come. And the only time we really did get many members was at the one time when there was a little church difficulty between the churches joining. And the people that didn't want to join, why, they either left our church and went to the other church or that church came to ours. But
you mean when churches combined, or
they were trying to combine the smaller churches, and they
were these Presbyterian churches that they
Presbyterian and no Presbyterian and Methodist.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And that happened about twice. But we got members at that time that decided they didn't want to stay with the Methodists, and then we had a few that decided they were going to go to the Methodist church. So that's about the only time that we really had much of a change in membership.
According to my notes, the Methodist Church was started in 1878, so there was a little, about 7 or 8 years after.
Afterward, yes.
Mm-hmm. There's still a push on to combine the two churches.
Yes.
I don't know whether they ever will because of the form of government. Don't you think that's the difference
I
in
think
the church?
That, yes, it's the biggest reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the congregation at one time, too, they tried that, too. But that just mm-hmm. didn't work either.
Now, you say you're from Scott. What was your maiden name, Sarah?
Scott.
Scott?
That's right, yes.
Uh-huh. And so that's pretty Scottish. What other changes have you noticed in the church, the way it is then and now?
Well, I think the biggest one, they could get women into the board of deacons, but we never had them in the elders till just in the last few years, in our church is when
That's
we
right.
first had women elders. But before that, why, I don't mean deacons, the trustees, they would have women and trustees once in a while. We had two separate organizations, the board of trustees and the board of elders. And they would let women into the trustees, because I was a trustee years ago. But,
now, the trustees have more of the care of the physical aspect of the church, and the elders were more the
spiritual part.
Spiritual
yes.
part. And now it's combined. There are no trustees.
No, they're all, they have different committees like stewardship and all the different ones, the breakup of the elders and the different organizations with representatives, you know.
There's the worship committee and the buildings and grounds and the New Life, which is New Life in the church, and stewardship.
Yes, there's so many organizations now, they just have trouble finding meeting nights.
That's right. How about the changing in the worship experience? Could you tell us a little bit how it was when you first joined?
Well, it didn't have quite the format that we have now. It was a little more flexible if something different came in. We never had printed programs, you know, that everybody went by. You'd feel lost to go to church now if they didn't have a program to give to you. But we didn't have that at that time, and they just...
The minister would just announce,
Announce the things that was going to happen, yes.
That's the way I grew up, you know. Yes. I think the first printed bulletins we ever had, was about maybe in the 50s. That's when they started.
That's about, when they did in our church, too.
Was there someone that always played the organ, or was it a piano then?
We had we've always had an organ. Mm-hmm. And my daughter Sarah played the organ for years. And then nobody ever got paid for being a choir director or an organist. The minister was the only one that they ever found money enough to pay. And some of the organists, like one we had, she figured that was her church dues, so she paid. That was the way she contributed to the church.
Well, that's, you know, our daughter Beth was the organist for 12 years. And when she got this arthritis in her hands and decided to quit, they had to decide on a salary because, you know, it had been just
an
little token.
Sure, yes.
And that sort of hurt the budget a few years ago.
I'm sure it did, yes.
Because they decided they're going to have someone that was connected with the church, they'd have to pay. And they found that's true.
No, I think the only thing that they had in the budget years ago was the fuel and the minister's salary and any expenses that they had for repairs on the church, but otherwise, there was no
and
expenses
utilities,
connected.
Utilities, I suppose.
That, mm-hmm. Utilities, yes, mm-hmm. Just the running expenses.
And things were a little more reasonable then, too, so your dollar contribution a week meant something then.
Yes, it meant something for you, too, to,
to be able to give it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How about the education of the children?
Well, they were very strict. We had a man that taught Sunday school, Sandra Peterson, and he was a very well-known teacher of the Bible. And he taught in the Methodist Sunday school, and then he came and taught in our Sunday school. Same Sunday, he taught Sunday school in both Sundays.
He taught all the classes?
No, he had a special class he taught, and his wife was superintendent. And she used to match the money of whatever class gave the most at their Sunday school offering, and she'd match that for the children. And she was very, very strict on those youngsters getting to Sunday school.
Did they have a weekday release time then?
Yes, we did.
What day was that?
Thursday. All the churches had Thursday.
And they were allowed to leave school?
And come to their
own church for their parochial
studies. Yes, that's right.
We studies.
Had, lessons we went by always.
It was that very far? The churches were all downtown, so in the school was.
Well, the schools were all downtown too.
Mm-hmm. Did all grades?
Yes.
That were released.
I think they were just up to the seventh or eighth grade. The high school didn't come to it.
They didn't.
But the grades did.
So it was just the grades through junior high?
Yes.
Well, then it went to eighth grade, I suppose, the class.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right.
High school was 4 years.
Yeah, it was 4 years at that time.
Mm-hmm. Did different people take turns teaching weekday release?
No, you got the job, you kept the job just like if you had it now. Miss Beardsley and I used to teach the Thursday school.
So that was really a commitment on your part to...
Oh, yes, that's right. And George was a small child, and I used to have to wheel him down to church in the baby buggy. Of course, you had baby buggies then, you know. So I'd wheel down to church winter and summer and teach.
How long was the release time?
An hour.
An hour. Then did they go right back to school?
Then they go back to school. Oh,
no,
yes.
Dawdling along the way?
No, they had to be back in school after they left. They had to come and they had to go right back again.
Did you have to take attendance? So
yes, we took attendance.
So that no one really could...
Nobody got out of school and didn't come to to class.
I wondered if there was a tendency of the kids to think, well, I'll skip weekday.
No, they had to appear at, if they were released, they had to come to class.
Were there a teacher for, a lay teacher for every class, or did you combine
them? We combined. We had two classes, and I had one class, Miss Beardsley had the other one.
Do you remember what grades you taught, Sarah?
Oh, I likely taught maybe 5th and 6th through 8th. That was a grade that I liked to teach best.
Did you feel that your training here at Morehead State College helped you in your teaching?
Oh, I think it did, yes.
And your Presbyterian background?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now the men don't have an organization in our church. They help.
I think the men and women work together more in fundraising than they did years back.
It's sort of the whole church instead of
separate. Yes, that's right, responsible separate. For it, yes.
I remember being rather startled when I first joined 20 years ago and was told, well, the men can do what they want to with their money, but this is our money. And, you know, the church I'd come from, it was more like it is now. We worked together. And I was really startled, you know, that the men and the women were separated like that. But I don't think it's that way.
Well, no, I don't think so either. No, they pretty much work together on anything that's going on.
Do you think having women elders and women taking a more active part has done that, or?
No, I don't think so.
Why do you think?
I think possibly that women working has made it that men have to help with things, because women don't have a free day like they used to have. It was rare the women worked in the earlier times, you know, that when I first came to town.
Most of them were in the home.
Were in the home, yes.
Now, when you lost your husband as a young person, how did you raise the children?
Well, I went to work.
What did you do, Sarah?
I did bookwork at bookkeeping at Armory Company.
At the same company your husband had been in?
That's right, yes. And I think it was maybe an open door for me to get there when I did. Because when I went there to apply, the man that was there, he said, well, how are the kids? So he had remembered that this had happened to us in years gone by.
Now, how old were the children when you went into the workforce?
Oh, Sarah had just started school, so she was 6 when I started working.
Your youngest was 6.
That's right, yes.
Two boys were in school?
Yes.
Tell me a little about your family, Sarah.
Well, my oldest son is a Navy veteran. He spent 20 years in the Navy, and he's retired from that. And while he was in the Navy, he was an electrician, air conditioning and things like that. So that's the line of work he's pursued since he's been out of the Navy.
Well, he has a business now. He's in that.
Yes, he's in that business. Mm-hmm. He's not independent, but he works for a construction business, and he goes out and estimates. And one time when I was there, they were on strike, so of course all the men in the office were going out doing repair work.
But he had his training from the Navy.
In the Navy, yes, that's right.
Now, when was he a 20-year man? How long has he been out?
He's been out since 70.
70.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then my son Jim, as long as he was able to say what he wanted to do, he wanted to be minister. So he was taken under care of Presbytery in our church.
Now, explain taking under care of Presbytery. Not everybody realizes what that means.
Well, I think it just means that from then on, why you have to be more or less responsible for your actions, and the Presbytery helps you and counsels
you. That's our
you.
Governing.
That's right, yes.
Body.
And the Presbytery was meeting at our church when he was taken under their care.
And the Presbytery consists of an elder and a pastor from each church. That was the original idea of it.
That's right, yes.
And they help. The Presbytery owns all the church buildings so that a congregation
can't decide to do anything. I remember one time when we had Ladies' Day, we decided to do a little remodeling in the church, and we fixed a part of a room for a ladies' aid meeting room, and after we'd all finished, the trustee said, you should have asked us to give you permission to do that. But they didn't say it until we had done all our work.
Did they give you permission?
Oh, well, it was all done.
It was improvement, I imagine.
Oh, yes,
they felt that way. Then Jim decided to be a minister, was that it?
That's right, yeah. He always had planned to be a minister. And one of his first texts he brought home from Sunday school was, train up a child in the way he goes. So, and I thought that was really kind of maybe the way it is too nowadays.
I think so too. It's very important. We see our grandchildren in the same church where we are, and we feel that it's important that the lessons they're getting there. It'll be a background. Maybe there'll be times when they won't feel that they're close to the church, but they'll come back to it.
And we had 25th anniversary for Jim in his ministry, and I went down for it. And I found a cute little plaque, and it's the lady at the Bible school, she says, you don't want that one. I said, let me see it. And it was a little train. And that verse was on, train up a child in the way he should go. And I said, that's just the one I want. So I took it to church, to Jim down there, and he had his children's sermon, and he had this board. And he said, you know what that is? Yeah, that was a board. And he said, you know what they do with it? Yes, they spank with it. But he said, now I'm going to turn it over, and I'll show you. And if you observe what this is, then you don't need the board used the other way. So he.
And what was on the other side of the board?
Well, train up a child in the way he should go.
Right.
And if they observed that, why then they didn't need the board used for the other side.
Jim is a pastor in
Chattanooga, yes.
Tennessee. Is he still in that inner city church, or is he?
No, he is a church. He has a church in the mountains. It's a smaller church because he wanted to pursue his work with drug and alcohol abuse, and he's done that all the years. He feels that prevention is better than cure, and he had a family of boys, and he wanted them to grow up knowing how important it was to see what happens with the misuse of them. So he's pursued that along with his ministering work.
And Jim is the second child.
He's my second child, yes.
And where did he, you say the first boy went into the Navy?
Yes.
And then Jim?
Jim took his training at McAllister and McCormick. And he graduated from McCormick in 1959, and he went to Kasota. And he was there for, maybe about 6 years.
In the southern part of the state?
That's down by Rochester, mm-hmm. Yes. And then from there he went to Chattanooga, and he's been there since about 65.
Even as a young pastor, he was interested in youth work.
Oh, yes.
Because he was the leader on a canoe trip up in the Boundary Waters, and second daughter was
in that
group,
yes.
And she always remembers how good he was.
Yeah, he always went to Northern Pines, too, when they mm-hmm. when the young people went to Bible. Well, the children all did go to Bible camp at Northern Pines when they were children.
The Northern Pines is the Methodist.
Methodist, but we always went there.
You did it then, and now we're doing it again, aren't we?
Yeah, we had a week there every year that was scheduled for our church.
Mm-hmm.
And they always went and helped clean the grounds up before they opened for the summer.
That's what the man up at Northern Pines now said. He's always glad to see the Moorhead Presbyterians come because they clean up the grounds for him for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, we always did that.
Uh-huh.
And one of his favorites was Marjorie Thompson. And she's had a history of Presbyterian and Baker all as long as years as I can remember.
Now, is she the one that plays the organ there?
No, she's in Rest Home now.
Oh, she is.
Yes.
Oh, I know who
you
she
know
is.
Who Marjorie
she's
is,
in
yes.
Elam.
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm. I visited her once.
Yeah, she was a great lady.
When I was doing calls on the...
Yeah.
The physical plant has changed a lot. The church was found to be falling down around the ears, practically, wasn't it? What year was that?
That was in...
We came in 66, and it was gone then. So
The main part of the church wasn't too bad, but it was for the educational building had been joined to it, and it could have been improved, except that we didn't have a parking area. And the city codes were that you couldn't rebuild it with no area for parking. So Presbytery wouldn't let us.
Because it was right downtown.
Right downtown with no facilities.
So it
for
wasn't
parking.
Only that the building needed lots of repair work, then, was that? It wasn't only that. It was the
area,
codes
yes.
And,
that's right,
and
yes.
The area it was in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And because of all the churches being down there, I suppose that on Sundays there was a parking
lot. We used to go over to the Red Owl, always let us park over there in their parking lot. And so it a lot of people walked, you know, when we had church downtown.
That's true.
We always
mm-hmm.
used to walk.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it so that people couldn't, and a lot of the older ones just didn't have any way to get to the churches when they got in the outlying areas.
So many of the churches have built out in the outlying, and I...
That's right.
We've always felt that it was behooved the rest of us to...
You found that all the time,
yes,
that you had to help pick
help
up the
other
elderly
people
ones,
come.
Yes.
And we really felt closer to, because we pick up older people and take them.
That's right.
And I just think it's sort of an outreach that we should be doing. The new church then was started way out on 29th and 5th. It's about 27 blocks from where the old church
old
was.
Church was, yes.
Uh-huh. We're still on 5th Street, but it's
That's right.
out of ways. And was there a push, a building drive, or I know there was when we came.
Well, there still is.
Yes.
We have still have the drive trying to retire our debt on this
and
church.
And it soon will be in a few years, I understand.
It'll be nice. Yeah.
It's been a long time, but apparently if you don't have a mortgage on a church, it's you have to have something
they
to work for.
They say that you have to have something to keep scratching for, yes.
You suppose that's the Scottish background, don't you?
Possibly.
I think
but
so.
I think it's a trend everywhere. If you get something paid for, you go and buy something else. And so it's pretty much the way people have always operated, I think.
The organizations then have changed, and the church has changed. How about the theology? Do you think there's been a big change there?
No, I don't think so. I think possibly they're relaxing a little bit too on their membership standards, but then some things are more rigid, like counseling before marriage and things like that. We didn't have that, of course. Most of the time it was all just families in the church that were marrying, so that they were all well known. But I think now they're trying to stress more counseling to try and keep marriages together. And that wasn't a problem years back. If you married, why, there was no idea that it wasn't going to stay.
I guess when we were talking about your children, we forgot about your daughter,
Oh,
Sarah.
Yes, she's around yet. In fact, she's been organist in Doran in the Presbyterian Church since about 1956.
She's married and has family
she
there.
She has five children, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a registered nurse. In the summertime, she nurses in the migrant school.
That's when the Texan-American
come to there, and they meet for 5 days a week for 6 weeks in Campbell. And so she's one of the nurses at that
school there.
Yeah.
The Mexican-American children learn English and...
And she goes to school and learns Spanish.
Oh, so that she can...
Yes. But they have a pretty good bond of communication anyway, because they come with their swords that have to be dressed, and likely they have to have their showers, and they have to have their meals. So for the little ones, even babies in arms, you know, they have. So there's not an awful language needed except when the mothers come.
So your children sort of are reaching out into the community
now that
they're adults themselves, too.
Yes, I think so. Yes.
So your theory of bringing up the child the way you should go has sort of paid off in your own children, hasn't it?
I think so. They've always were good youngsters. Like one of the kids, you know, if Mama says no, she means it.
Well, being a single parent,
you had to, yes.
And now, were they growing up in the 60s? They were adults by that time.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And
they
had
all,
families of their
They had
their
all
own.
Families owned by that time, yes.
We always talk about the rebellious 60s. But don't you think it was just as difficult to bring up children in the ages you brought them up, or do you feel there was a difference?
I think there was a difference. Like, I never worried about anything except maybe car accidents. Otherwise, there was no drinking, there was no gambling, there was no drugs or anything then to worry about. The only thing was if the children got out and accidentally were in a car accident. But otherwise, when the children went together, there were always school or church-oriented things that they went to.
Now, you live on Main and 14th.
That's right.
Have you always lived there?
Pretty near,
mm-hmm.
since 29.
Right in that area.
Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
So your children could go to, walk to most places?
They walked to everything. They walked to church all the time. They walked to school.
Mm-hmm.
It was, everything was in walking distance for everybody. We had people who belonged to our church that lived out by McCann's, and they all walked to church.
Way out there.
That's right. There was father, McCann's mother, and five children.
Are where the country club
country
is
club,
now.
Yes. And they walked to the church every Sunday. So church was always in walking distance when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't the dependence on cars and that.
No, not at all.
In a way, that's sort of good because they didn't go out to the lakes on Sunday. That's sort of our...
Nobody had Lake Cottage.
No.
And we had two ladies. They were pretty much the calling committee, and they would walk around, those two ladies, and call on everybody every week, Mrs. Prindle and Mrs. Miller. They did the calling.
So that if someone wasn't in church on Sunday, why, they would find out if there was illness or...
Yes, they kept a close contact with everybody in the church.
So in a way, they were doing pastoral work that we consider that it's up to the pastor now, don't we?
Well, the deacons do that, what those two ladies used to do. Of course, everybody was in walking distance then too, you know, the church family.
Was there a deacon board at that time?
No, there wasn't.
But you had the Missionary Society.
Missionary Society, yes.
But that was more for outreach.
That was outreach, yes. It wasn't local. And, of course, Our Ladies' Aid, they reported on everybody's sick or anything like that when we had our meetings, so that everybody was kept in contact.
Well, if you met 1 week with the Missionary Society and 1 week with the Ladies' Aid, why, then everybody was sort of in touch with
each
other.
That's right, yes. That's right. But that was their only social outlet, you know, was the church.
So even the social activities revolved around the church?
Everything did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have parties at church?
Oh, yes.
What were they like, Sarah?
Well, the children, young people were called Christian Endeavor, and they'd meet in the evening and have games like spin the ball, you know, and...
Oh, racy
and,
ones, huh?
Oh, yes, and musical chairs and all things like that. And if anybody had an anniversary, why, it was really celebrated. With everybody at it.
I imagine you had lunch. Presbyterians always have
always
lunch?
Always had lunch, yes. We didn't have coffee at our church, though.
You didn't have coffee after the service?
Not for, maybe, it must have been the 50s before we had started having coffee.
I think that's when we started, too, about 55, because, it seems like when church was over, it was time to get home to your roast.
That's right,
that you had in the oven, and your baked potatoes. And you didn't stay around and drink coffee?
No.
When did you have a fellowship time before church then? Or?
No. They had Sunday school, and then right after Sunday school, at church. And there was no Sunday school classes going on during church service.
The children came?
Came to church, yes. And it wasn't until, Mrs. Morrison came that we had a nursery.
Is that right?
Because everybody brought their children to church with them. The little ones came into church along with their parents, and if they were noisy, why, the mother took them out, and that was it.
Well, we had five, and we both sang in the choir, my husband and I, and they would sit in the front row, and they knew if mother was looking at them that they were better be quiet, but there was no ever saying, I don't want to go. They knew they stayed in church.
Sure, yes.
So I was a little amazed the other day when they were talking about not using the nursery unless there was an adult in there, and or getting the children to sit in church. And to me, there was no argument about that. Didn't you feel that way?
Oh, I did, yes. I felt strangely when they started having nursery in church, because I had gone all through that with all my three children all by myself, and I just felt like that you could keep your children quiet if you wanted to or try to, and like Muriel, Winter used to come with her children, and she always brought things to keep them occupied so that there was no disturbance.
I think the trend nowadays is for the mothers to worry that the children are disturbing other people, when really, I don't feel that way.
The only time to disturb is your own.
That's right, right. Uh-huh. So the nursery really hasn't been used then since... That surprises me, because I thought you always had a nursery. Because we were in such a small church that there wasn't a nursery, you know. But just since the 50s then.
Yeah, well, that was the... That was about the time, well, Mrs. Morrison was there before that, but then that was about, I know my children were all grown enough that they were sitting in church good when they first started having them. But Mrs. Morrison was there in the 30s also.
Did she feel they were disturbing, is that it?
Yeah, she thought so.
Oh. She had been a teacher. That surprises me.
She had two children, and her children were trained so well that they'd leave them home if they had to go out of town on business. Those children were responsible for themselves.
Is that right? Well, besides the organizational structure, and it's about the same now, there's no men's group,
no.
But we have youth and the women, and the men and women together. Do you think you're closer to the minister now? You feel more at ease with him than you did when?
Well, we always felt at ease with the minister.
Did you?
Yeah. Because years ago, you know, they never put them up in motels or anything like that. If a minister came to, if they were asked to come and preach, you know, if you were going to call somebody, they lived in your home. And so we always were close to the minister.
We were surprised when the moderator of the General Assembly came to visit here. And let's see, who was the minister? Oh, Reverend Grabham was the minister then. And he asked the session what hotel he should get a room for him. And Kenneth said, well, I think that would be a shame. He said, we'd like to have him stay at our place. And we were new here. And they were kind of amazed at that because apparently they'd gotten away from entertaining having the minister visiting people stay at your home.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we first used to have the presbytery meet or any of those meetings in the evening, one woman would be assigned to see that someone stayed at everybody's house. And we knew that when we came to those meetings, someone would be coming back to stay with us because nobody ever went anywhere except to homes and were entertained while they were in town.
We, in June, the bell choir from Sioux Falls, South Dakota is coming to a meeting here. Bell choirs throughout North Dakota and South Dakota and Minnesota. And Dwayne Anderson's daughter is a member of the church that, so he said, how would we like to have the bell choir do a couple of anthems and we said, well, where are they going to stay? And he said, well, we'll have to figure that out. And so the worship committee, of which I'm a member, said, well, we'll open up our homes and ask the people.
I think that's
so
nice.
I think we're
yes.
going to do that. So
that
maybe we're getting back to that.
To the, surely.
To that friendliness. For a while, it was, you kept your distance. You know, you didn't invite the minister over because he should not be friendly with the congregation. And I thought that was just a very bad trend.
I think it's too bad. I remember when Sarah was three, she had double pneumonia. And the minister used to come and sit for a while in the morning so that I could rest at Reverend Aaron's. And he'd come and take care of her so that I could get to lie down and just relax a little bit.
You've seen a lot of ministers, Sarah.
Oh, yes.
Do you feel that the church is the worship, the order of service, and that reflects the minister's feelings, or does it reflect the people of church?
I think pretty much the minister, and it's a combination. I think that our pastor really puts himself into every family in his dealing. That's the impression I have. Now, Carrie's sister, she has her own minister, and the hospital has a minister, and Grant calls, and she's always happy when Grant comes.
I think that's one of, this is, we're talking about Grant Lowe, our present
yes.
pastor. One of his strong points is he's so supportive when you have illness or
yes.
death in your family. And I don't think that's something of ordinary, I think a person has to have that.
And Reverend Grabham was the same way. He was so wonderful. And I used to say, how did you know we needed you today? And I just talked to, you know, we just thought the world and all of him.
I don't think that every pastor just automatically has that because he's a Presbyterian pastor.
No, I don't think so either.
Definitely, they're ill at ease and they're uncomfortable around the ill.
Yeah, we've had some that I couldn't put my arms around like I can Grant or Reverend Grabham or different ones that they're just families for us.
And I don't think we can say that that's because they were a pastor. I think that's probably their personality in the first place.
Well, yes. Well, Jim's the same way in his church, right? They're just...
they're warm with your son.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Does he have a lot of blacks in his church?
No, he's up in the mountain. And he has a lot of the blacks in his organizations, but not up in the church. Mm-hmm. It's people that have lived up on Mowbray for years that he
so
has
in the
church. So
it's the Tennessee mountain people, really.
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm, that he's a pastor to. Mm-hmm. Do you think any of the grandchildren are headed towards being pastors?
If there were, it'd be Roger, but I don't really think so. I think they, pretty much like a doctor's life, they see how much it takes out of the family to have the pastor gone or the doctor gone. You know, your time is never your own. You're at the call of someone all the time, and you're...
Yes, I guess that's what surprised me when some of our children went into medicine, because I thought they really wouldn't. As far as we've sort of gone over the changing trends, and now how do you feel the churches feel towards one another?
Well, you know, I think the churches are getting farther apart.
Do you really, Sarah? I thought there was more of a trend to...
When my children were small, at Lent or Good Friday, all the churches came together. And they had about 3-hour service, and every minister of every church took part on the 7 last words. And they would, I remember going to Episcopal Church one year, and the different ministers all came to that church and preached on a different, one of the 7 last words. And they don't all come together like that anymore.
Well, do you think it's that the churches are getting farther apart, or do you think it's because the town is getting bigger? Before, you know, everything sort of centered in the churches. And now everyone's so afraid to combine church and school or...
Possibly. And we had May Day and we had World Day of Prayer. We observed all those things all together as all the churches. And I can remember our church being packed for World Day of Prayer, with men and women too.
I remember the first year that they discontinued these organizations, they were through the women's groups. And I was really sort of shocked. I said, World Day of Prayer has been canceled because of lack of interest. I said, isn't that... I read this in the paper, and I said, oh, here we talk about reaching out to the world, and now we canceled World Day of Prayer because there wasn't enough interest. They have a ministerium, or the minister's organization.
Yes.
I wonder if they're so busy in their own churches, do you think that's the reason that they aren't holding joint things?
It's possible.
Because 20 years ago, the Congregationalists, the Methodists, and the Presbyterians had Thanksgiving services together, and then the next year we'd have the Lenten services, and we sort of, you know, they were passed around, and we sort of enjoyed the fellowship with the other churches
at
that time.
I think it's nice, yes. I don't know what has happened. Just
everyone is sort of in their own churches. I think there are more. We go back and forth. There are weddings that, when I was growing up, a Catholic priest would never come in and be a part of a wedding in a Protestant church, or a Protestant minister in a Catholic church. That just wasn't to be. But there are now.
That difference has been erased. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's for the good. As individuals, we go to things in other churches. Don't you feel we do?
Oh, yes. I think we do, yes.
We have the Communiversity, which the churches really every year go together, and our church supports that along with the other churches in Moorhead and Fargo. But there is no release time anymore, is there?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I think possibly that too, is because the churches are so outlying that
they'd have to bus them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have the Vacation Bible School years ago.
Oh, you didn't?
No, we didn't have that.
Explain a little bit about Vacation Bible School.
Well, that's something I can't explain too much about because I've never taken part in it.
Well, it's usually after school.
The first week after school, yes.
And then they have us
organized. I think it's
organized
about through sixth grade or something, isn't it? It's,
yes, uh-huh, the kindergarten and preschool.
Yes.
And they meet at the church, and it's a curriculum sort of like the Sunday school, only it's compacted into 6 days.
Five days.
And we try to, as long as our church is out by the apartment buildings, they're trying to get the
children from the apartment
buildings to come and to see, so they get a little introduction into church life and perhaps reach out to the families that way. I don't know whether we've ever succeeded.
I don't know either. They used to think that having a church out there would be quite a drawing card for apartment dwellers, but we've had very few ever come from there, or either from the motels when they've been there on a Sunday. We've had just a few once
visitors,
in a while.
But that's about all. The New Life Committee takes around bulletins every week to the when I was on New Life.
Yeah, I don't think it does now.
They don't to
no,
the different.
We were talking about the last time we met. And it hasn't been done, but it used to be done. We were taking the motels.
We did that on Friday.
That's right. Yes.
And left them at the desk, and because we practically share a parking lot with the Ramada Inn, we thought we'd get a lot of people from there.
Yeah, it's just surprising that we don't.
It really is. When people are away
from
home on Sundays, they just
they're not looking for church.
That's right.
They're relaxing because they've been doing something the night before and get up late, and they just don't. Take church in.
When we were down in Georgia just recently, and we were looking for a church on Sunday morning, well, we looked around a little on Saturday, and we took one in downtown in this small town, because we thought, in New Brunswick, we thought we wanted to be where there was a lot of good music, because there'd be a lot of blacks there. And we sat down in church, and my husband looked, and he says, "There's only one black here. We have more families than that in our church."
That's right. Yes, we do.
So we were a little disappointed that way, because we did look for a downtown church thinking we'd find somebody. So do you think our church family is made up of practically the same ethnic groups that they were in the 20s?
So.
Do you?
Well, there's so many you don't ever get acquainted with because they're such a transient group that we have. They maybe live a couple of years and then they're transferred to somewhere else. And like the other day I was saying about one family, oh, where did they go to? Tinklingburgs.
Well, they went out to Oregon.
Yeah. And you can name more families that have left than that we still have. And I just, and they get so well worked into the church, and you get depending on them, and then you have to break in.
I've been missing the Warmans now. He's on a sabbatical.
Yes.
And I said to, "Gee, we're going to miss Walton and Barb." And Ken said, "Well, when you have teachers that go back and get more education and that," he said, "you got to expect that." I said, "I guess when people come to church and join and that, I think they're going to be here as long as we are."
That's right, yeah, and they're not anymore, no.
It's difficult to see the way. Well, then you feel that maybe churches are made up of people. We should say, when they say the church, it's really the people. And they don't change so much then from one generation to the next.
No, I don't think so. I think the ones we meet in church, they're pretty much the ones that we would have met 60 years ago. Except there's so many things that distract you now. There was no organization before, and that's the same way. It's so hard when you budget. You have to budget for this and for that and for the next thing. And there wasn't any budget. There was your home expenses and your church expenses, and that was about how you had to split your budget.
You think that it was easier when you were young to be a good church member because there weren't so many distractions, is that? Or am I putting words in your mouth?
Well, I think not my case, because there's, when it comes to distractions, if there's something that's going on in church, I don't let that, let something else take me from that, because I would feel guilty if I did. But I think it does happen, like so many people in Lake Cottages, you know, go away for the winter and things like that, that we just have to divide our loyalties and our budget and everything else with so many places.
That was the big shock to me, I think, when we moved here, was that people left town on Sunday.
Yes.
I was just really shocked. Where is everybody? Oh, they went to the lakes.
Sure.
I said, what lakes, you know?
Yeah, it's a big drawing card for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Do I dare ask you how old you are, Sarah?
Oh, yes. I'm going at 79.
79. And Sarah is a deacon. You're on the diaconate board, aren't you?
That's right, yes.
And she's very active with the Women's Association and the Bible class in the mornings and the circle group. So she's a good example for all of us, I think. And I thank you, Sarah.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
Okay.
I'd be lost without my church.
Thank you for being our interviewer.
Thanks for asking.